Last time I was in a court was a couple of years ago. I was selected as a reserve member of the federal grand jury. That means that I was standing by for one entire year, in case any one of the grand jury members is no longer available for whatever reason, then I'm going to pinch hitting for them. The federal judge who presided, he was sitting at the bench, and the bench was about 3 feet above the floor. He was very meticulous about what he won, and the whole process was very impressive because I've never been in the federal grand jury process before. I was glad that I was not the one being tried by that judge because he was not cutting any slack. And at the same time, I was very glad that not a defendant, but I was a member of a grand jury. That deciding that whether there is enough evidence for the case to go in on trial. Spiritually, I am also glad that I don't have to face the ultimate judge of the universe at the great white throne judgment day. Because the same judge who would judge my fate in the future in hell, toward hell, he now became the Savior and Lord 1987. And I don't call him judge, but I call him my Savior, my God. Because he paid for my sin with his atoning sacrifice, I don't have to face him as a guilty one, rather a sinner forgiven by grace of God. This morning we are eavesdropping the Jesus' last public teaching. Again, he is extending his invitation. I want you to pay attention to what I said. He is extending invitation to these people, these unbelievers, once more. But that invitation soon will turn into command. And note those two words, invitation and command. Let's stop and pray. Father, we are grateful that you allowed us to come to your throne again. We are grateful that Jesus became our atoning sacrifice. Our slate is clean. And you, as your word said, come, let us reason together now. Your sin was as scarlet, but they will become as white as snow. You wipe them clean. That's why we can come to your throne and with a boldness in our heart and with a grateful mindset. Father, we pray for the 9/11 victims' family and friends. I'm sure this has been a very long 10 years. Each time they think about their loved ones, I'm sure they had a teary eyes. You encourage them, embrace them, let them know that you are the one who loves them forever. Through this difficult time, they may come to know Jesus if they don't know you. We also pray for the 80 soldiers who've been injured in Afghanistan on Saturday truck bombing. Father, you're willing, you heal them completely and comfort them and comfort their families. Also lifting up President Obama. He may come to know Jesus as his Savior and Lord. And we also pray for the rest of our uniformed soldiers, firefighters, and law enforcement personnel. Wherever they are, you protect them and you keep them safe. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 35 and chapter 12 in John. Then Jesus said to them, a little while longer, a light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest the darkness overtake you, and he who walks in the darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become the sons of light. These things that Jesus spoke and departed and was hidden from them. I'm sure that, and you, I'm sure you all have as well. I encountered several people who told me that they are not ready to make a decision to follow God because they want to have all the funds they can have. You know, I have to wonder, really, so you want to have all the funds before you kick the bucket, right? And you're going to make a split decision. Their idea of the I will do it later is impossible and is unreasonable. How do they know how long they're going to live? How do they know? Ask 2,977 people 10 years ago. Backtrack the time 10 years ago, 746, September 11, 2001. When they're traveling to the lower Manhattan, when they're traveling to the Pentagon, when they're getting in the airplanes, none of them thought, I'm going to die within an hour. If they knew that, they would not be in where they were. 8:46 a.m., flight 11 hit the North Tower. 9:03, flight 175 hit the South Tower. 9:37, flight 77 crashed into the western wing of the Pentagon. And 10:03, flight 93 crashed into the southeast of Pittsburgh in Somerset County. 2,977 people, they had no idea what was coming. Nor do you, nor do I. As Psalmist said, let us know, help me to count my days that I may draw new wisdom. We don't know when are we how long we're going to live. Okay, next time that rings again, you're buying lunch to everybody. I'm sure that they had no idea. No one can be absolutely sure how long they're going to live. The majority of us assume that and hope that we are going to live long, long life. Even though there is no guarantee from God. If you're one of those people who think that you will live long forever, think again. What Jesus is telling us is that while you have a chance to make the most important choice in your life, where to spend your eternal life by receiving Jesus into your heart or rejecting Him, and you need to make the choice, the right choice today. Not later. Keep your finger there and go to Hebrews 9:27, please. Hebrews 9:27. And it is appointed for men to die how many times? Multiple times. 100,000 times, right? What? Once. Once. To die once, but after this, and the judgment. In other words, once an unbeliever passed the day of grace of God on earth, he or she is done. You may say, well done in hell. There is no turning back. There is no purgatory. And there is no reincarnation, much to the New Age guru, Shirley MacLaine's surprise. Listen. By a simple step of faith, unbelievers can pass from the spiritual darkness into the light of the salvation in Christ Jesus. You agree? Verse 37. But although he had done so many signs before them, they did not believe in him, that the word of Isaiah prophet might be fulfilled, which he spoke, Lord, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord has been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because Isaiah said again, He has blinded their eyes, hardened their hearts. Note those two words, blind their eyes, harden their hearts, lest they should see with their eyes, lest they should understand with their heart and turn so that I should heal them. These things Isaiah said when he saw his glory and spoke of him. By reading this portion of scripture out of context, okay, one person may come up with a totally twisted conclusion. And they said, well, God doesn't want the people to be saved because he blinded their eyes, he hardened their heart. And how does he expect people to be saved? He must be some sort of sick, psychopathic, big guy upstairs. Let me say this. Don't call God big guy upstairs. Have you ever heard that term? Many times. It's a very, very disrespectful term. Just call him God or Lord, or don't call him big guy upstairs. And he doesn't do that. He doesn't blind the people's eyes for no reason. He doesn't, you know, harden their heart for no reason. From verse 35 to 49 of chapter 12, we find the keyword believe appear nine times. Nine times. Do you think he's trying to tell us something? In spite of all the clear evidence that was presented to them by Jesus Christ himself, the nation of Israel would not believe. They have heard message after message from the lips of Jesus Christ. And they saw this miracle that occurred by the command of Jesus. Yet they would not believe in him. In case you did not know, the four Gospels showed 35 miracles that Jesus performed. 35 miracles. Ranging from the turning regular tap water to the finest wine they could find. And raising the dead guy out of the tomb. Listen, when a person starts to resist the light of the world, Jesus, something begins to change within him. He comes to the place where he cannot believe because he no longer cares about God or his truth. There is a fancy theological term for this, judicial blindness. God permits the blindness to come over the spiritual eyes of people who do not take the truth of God seriously. You may remember several verses that mention this term, harden their heart, harden the king and the pharaohs of the Egypt in the book of Exodus. One example is Exodus 7:3. Please go there. Exodus 7:3. It reads, I will harden the Pharaoh's heart and multiply my sign and my wonders in the land of Egypt. Pharaoh has seen enough miracles of God of Israel, ranging from the frogs everywhere to, you know, the firstborn of Egypt, whether it's a man or animal, they all got killed. Like the Pharaoh and the Egyptians, the people of Israel rejected the Lord and his truth so many times. They no longer care about him. For the lack of a translation of the full meaning, you can say that the hardened heart means confirmed. Am I in your way, guys? Confirmed. Their decision because in God's infinite wisdom, he knew that they would not change their mind to their last breath. Let me put it in a simple term. A person here, we always pick on who? Charlie, right? He's Charlie. Decide, I'm not caring, I don't care about God. I don't believe anything about him. And until God knew that he's not going to change his mind to the last breath. So what does God says? Okay, you will not. You will end up in hell because of your own decision. God confirmed his decision. It's not like a God picked this poor Charlie and say, I don't like you the way you part your hair. I don't like the way you're walking around. So I'm going to send you to hell. He doesn't do that. The Greek word for the hardened is a parao, where the definition of a hardened body covering with a callus. That's a perfect description. Callous or the make heart dull. Now go to the verse 42, please. 42. Nevertheless, even among the rulers may believe in him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. Let me read it one more time in verse 43. For they, because they love the praise of men more than praise of God. Isn't that sad? The teacher of the scripture of Israel, you remember him, Nicodemus, we met him in chapter 3. Him and Joseph of Arimathea were initially part of this group. They did not openly declare that their allegiance with Jesus Christ. But they eventually declared him as their savior. In all the churches, there are the record of the priests and the Pharisees joining, become Christians, according to the book of Acts. It is an old struggle between God's glory and the praise of man. It was a costly thing to be excommunicated during that time, as I mentioned to you in previous teachings. And these secret believers wanted to have the best of the both worlds. I want to be saved. At the same time, I have to stay with my old friends. Today, these two verses cover many believers in Christ. There are some Christians who think that they are God's secret agent. Just extra touch for you guys. They don't want anyone to know. They don't want anyone to know that they are Christian. Especially unbelievers around them. To know about the newfound faith in Christ. Because they don't want to be rejected. They don't want to be isolated by the people. Is it possible? Is it possible for a secret follower? Is it possible to be a secret follower of Jesus Christ? Only temporarily. Either secrecy will cancel out the belief, or the belief will cancel out the secrecy. You follow me? Go to Galatians 1:10, please. Yeah. The original Mission Impossible. Galatians 1:10. For do I now persuade men or God? Okay. Are you there yet? Everybody there? For do I persuade man or God, or do I seek to please man? For if I still please man, note here, I would not be a bondservant of God. Go to Proverbs 29, please. Proverbs 29. Verse 25. The fear of man brings a snare. Note that. Fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. Listen, if you're one of these God's secret, self-appointed God's secret agent now, and you are here, and you became a Christian, but you don't want the other people, especially your co-workers, your family members, to know, because they might reject you. Think again. See, if they are really your friend, they would not ridicule your faith. If they are truly your friend, they would not ridicule you, they would not look down on you, they would not make fun of you. If they do, you don't need them. True friend would not do that. They will be happy for you. If that's the kind of friend you have, turn your heart to the true and eternal friend. His name is Jesus Christ. He loved you so much that he took your sins upon himself and died for you. Do any of your friends can do that? In result, you will not experience the eternal death in hell. And you may say, well, I want a friend with a skin too. We are your friend. My wife Karen and I are your friend. You might as well get used to with us because we're going to be with you for eternal life. So, here. Here is a point. Better to fear God and go to heaven than to fear man and end up in hell. A lot of people are scared of the unbelievers. They compromise. Verse 44, please. Then Jesus cried out and said, He who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And he who sees me sees him who sent me. I have come as a light into the world, not whoever believes in me, and that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. But if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. Verse 48, He who rejects me and does not receive my word and has that which judge him, the word I have spoken will judge him in the last day. I want you to highlight that portion of verse 48, please. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me the command what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak. When you walk into a dark home at night, what is the first thing you do? Turn the light on. Why? Because you cannot do a whole lot of things in the darkness, right? Same. It's the same thing. Human being can never become what God wants them to be until they step into the light of the world. That is Jesus. Modern medical science can add some ears to their lives. But only Jesus Christ can add life into your ears. Without him, we are nothing. I want all of you to pay attention to verse 47. Go back there, please. And if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him. I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. This speaks about the purpose of Jesus' first earthly ministry 2,000 years ago. He came to the world as a savior to save the wretches like us. But he's going to come back as the judge in the future to judge the one who rejected him, according to Revelation chapter 19. To receive Jesus Christ, this is important, to receive Jesus Christ is to avoid his judgment. To avoid Jesus Christ is to receive his judgment. You know, when our elder Jerry Hamby was a kid, that's the time when the earth was crusting. And his mama called him from the kitchen. Jerry, he was not paying attention. He was doing his own thing. Second time when she called him, it's a little louder in a higher pitch. You know what I'm talking about, right? And he still didn't answer her. And the third time, she come up with a full name, Jerry Russell Hamby, in staccato. Now, he better answer her, otherwise he's going to have a face-to-face time with his daddy later. Remember at the beginning what I said? It started with the invitation. God invites you. John 3:16, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have an everlasting life. He invited them. Now, he invited them all the way through. When they reject him, guess what? That invitation turning into the command. Go to the Acts chapter 17, please. Verse 30. Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. Our God started with His gracious invitation for mankind, but they became a stern command to the people to repent from their sins and turn to Him. By obeying His invitation and command, we get to accomplish our purpose on this earth and have a truly fulfilled life. You may go for anything you want. If you're not following God, you are not obeying God, your life is still empty. Without God, your life is a void. In verse 47 through 49, we find the word judge for four times. In three verses, we find four times. Our Lord would rather save us than to judge us. It is an incredible fact that unbelievers will face judgment every bit of a scripture they heard and they have read, according to verse 48. The very word that he rejects become his judge. Why? Because of this written word, listen to me, this written word point to the living word that is Jesus Christ. Am I making sense to you guys? Chapter 1 of John. John 1:14. Our memory verse. And the Word became flesh, dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, and glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Let me say one more time. This written Word points us to the living Word, Jesus Christ, and He dwelt among us. Don't reject Him. If a man refused to hear and obey the teaching of Jesus Christ throughout the Bible, he sentenced himself. He sentenced himself. Go to Hebrews chapter 12, please. See that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. The American, not like a third world country people, have a very little excuse when it comes to the not knowing Jesus Christ. Because there is just about every possible way you can learn about Jesus Christ. Even the atheist heard about him and read about him. If you are here and you are not a born-again Christian, you even have a less excuse, because in the last 35 minutes, I told you about Jesus Christ. There is no other way to get to heaven but through Him. What you have heard, what you have read about Jesus will sentence you if you reject Him. Two applications. Number one, unbelief is progressive. Unbelief is progressive. The more person rejects Jesus, the harder one's heart becomes against him. In other words, if you reject him, his invitation today, the next time it will be easier for you to reject him. And to the point, you will be callous. Your heart will be callous to not to hear him at all. That's when God hardened your heart. That's the time when the day of grace of God is over for you. Second application. The danger of believing Jesus Christ can bring compromise, because many of us want to be accepted by men more than God. Remember, Jesus didn't compromise his love for you on the cross. Agree? Let's stand up and pray.